The Geekspeak Podcast Network proudly presents The Geek Cave.
This episode of the Geek Cave Podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Geek Cave Podcast. More than 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And
hooray!
Yay! Geek Cave brought
Chad,
to you...
Chad.
Geek Cave Podcast brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com.
You had to think about that for a second.
Well,
didn't you?
We've got so many sponsors, I have to really kind of like process it for a second.
But, in no particular order.
Right. Buzz time. I guess reverse alphabetical order.
Sure.
Or order in which they adopted us. Shirtosaurus, Buzz Time, and Audible.com.
This is true, yes.
So, and of course, proud members of the DeepSpeak Podcast Network, where you can hear a lot of shows with similar veins, similar thoughts, but we're the best one. Just throwing that out there.
There is no conceit in the GeekSpeak Family Network.
Nope.
We got it all.
So, oh, comics. What's going on?
You can't spell Darren without I.
This is true. Although a lot of people try using an E instead.
Darren?
That's how my phone sends it every time. Every time I have to write your name, my
phone spells it with an E.
Yeah. Because I don't type. Screw typing. I just I push the little microphone.
Yeah.
It's like buying Darren alcohol. D-A-R-R-E-N. And
whatever.
Half the time, it doesn't even capitalize you.
My work email has like a little signature automatic thing. So there are people that will reply to my email with my name literally right above what they've said, and they still spell it wrong. So I know that feel. The struggle is real. Comics are weird. What's up?
Well, who here likes the DC's New 52?
I don't mind.
It's got some good points.
Okay. Well, those good points may or may not be around.
Of course not.
Yeah. No, apparently DC is starting their new Convergence storyline.
Is this the one with like the ridiculous number of tie-ins?
Yes, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, every version of the DC universe, going back to its inception in the late 30s, early 40s, to the new 52, must fight.
Yeah.
Battle Royale style.
Now see,
to see who the winner is to survive.
Some of this has been interesting to me because
I really want 80s Superman
with the like mullet.
The mullet. Oh, absolutely.
Because like
I want that one with like super dark Batman.
Because the Azrael Batman from the 90s,
yeah,
when everyone had to be dark and gritty and pockets for some reason, yeah, on his leg. But
Reasons.
But some of these teasers look interesting. You know, like, here's a depowered Superman, still married to Lois, and she's pregnant. And then here's, like, four Batmen in the same world. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of done this before when they did 52.
Yeah, Battle Arena or something.
Yeah,
like
Battle
that.
Arena, yeah. They pulled in different versions of heroes from the multiverse and made them fight.
Batman always wins.
Batman's always wins, yes. Batman versus Batman versus Batman was fun because Batman won in the end.
Of course he did.
But the problem...
The real winner was Marvel.
The real... Yes. But... And I'm okay with this. I'm okay with comic book companies shaking things up. You know, I predicted that the new 52 really wouldn't last that long.
You did. I remember that day.
I don't remember how long I said it would last. It's gone on longer than I anticipated. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I thought it would just be like a six-month thing.
A six-month to a year, and then, you know, kind of other earth-shattering thing, and then it kind of goes back to normal. It's going on two and a half, 3 years now.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
I don't have a problem with them shaking things up. My problem is that they do it far too often.
This is true. Well, now they've been doing it far too often.
Yeah, in our lifetimes, we have had three crises. 10 hour.
Mm-hmm. Which technically is a crisis.
Yeah.
Crisis in time.
Four crises. We had 52. Mm-hmm. We've had Flashpoint, which is now a fifth crisis.
Yes.
You know, that's about four crises too many for like a 30-year span.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, okay, I understand they did the first one to clean up and kind of get rid of the old and with the new.
See, really the problem is Hawkman.
Yeah.
Because that was what kind of led to the first crisis was Hawkman's, you know, history is far too messed up. And every time they've brought Hawkman back, and what happens? They have to fix shit again. Stop bringing back Hawkman. Stop it. He's the problem.
Yeah. Girl, on the other hand?
She's fine. Yeah. Because her storyline is pretty...
Yeah, she is.
Well, her storyline's easier to understand. Hawkman's had like five
to pluck
origins.
Those wings. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Convergence is coming.
Feathers.
Deal with it. But the problem is, there's going to be like 40 tie-ins to make this thing make sense. I mean, I've got some storylines on my shelf.
40?
Yeah, it's
now, at $4 a book.
Yeah, it's
that's $160 a comic.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the main story arc.
For 1 month.
Yeah. But
or are we talking 40 total?
No, Convergence is a 2 month event.
Yeah.
So 40 per month or 40, or
just
20 40, per month?
40 total.
40 total.
Okay.
But I mean, you've got like four issues of the main event, four or five issues, and then you've got all these, you know, an entire shelf worth of tie-ins to make everything make sense. It's insane. I mean, I've got some storylines that are a bit confusing.
It's almost like they're trying to make money off this thing.
Yeah. And they've got an insane number of tie-ins.
Yeah.
But this is ridiculous.
It's redonkulous, even.
It could be considered redonkulous, yes. So, I mean, if you really want to know what's going on, you're going to have to shell out a lot of money, because they are running $4 to $5 each.
Yeah.
Because they're just insane. So,
well, I hope you've got $200.
Ultimately, I think this is why a lot of people just wait for the trades to come out.
Well, yeah, but even then, those trades are going to be like...
Well, yes,
yeah.
they will be, but then you don't have to piecemeal them together.
True.
This is true.
It's like, Justin, you got the Nightfall series.
Yes,
and
I
you
did.
Spent a lot of time finding that kind of insert stuff.
Yes, I got lucky in the fact that, you know, they were... older used comics from the 80s, so they weren't...
They're like a buck.
They were like a buck, so yeah. I didn't have to spend a lot of money.
But then, remember, it was shortly after you got the last one, they came out with the Nightfall saga had that stuff included.
Yeah, that did kind of piss me off a little bit.
So, it's a case of... I'm not going to buy it.
No.
You know, I'm not going to buy this in piecemeal so that I have to... read through one and be like, okay, now am I supposed to read this one or this one next? And does it matter? And
well, I think
so
this
on
is one of the strengths of how the companies are now publishing digitally at the same time as print.
Yes.
Because it makes it easier to track down and there's less clutter. And if you're just, you know, a couple taps away, let's say you've got your credit card automatically attached and you're not really thinking about shelling out the cash, then it's easier to do. You know, that might be some of the idea behind it. Like, well, you're going to need like a spreadsheet to keep track anyway. And while you're on your computer, why don't you just go ahead and buy them there?
There you go. There you go. So
not for me, man, the only comic that I actually get right now is Batman 66.
It's a good book.
Look out.
And I didn't even cancel Indestructible Hulk. It just stopped coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did it for you. Sad Hulk music in the background.
We have to make... I'd say we made one reference to that per episode now.
Probably, yeah.
Starting with episode 50. That's just going to be our new thing for the next 50 episodes.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sad Chad. Yeah. So, okay. The DC universe as we know it, you know...
Again.
Shaken
will
up.
Never be the same.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Hey, you know what that reminds me of?
What's this?
The Marvel universe as we know it. Is coming to an end and may never be the same.
Really?
Really?
Wait, I thought we just did a Marvel Now thing.
We did, but apparently that wasn't good enough. So Marvel has decided to take their Marvel Standard Continuity, which just had a shakeup.
So now we're going to have Marvel Later. Marvel Now, Marvel Later.
Marvel Soon.
Marvel the next morning.
Yes. The Walk of Shame.
Marvel Shame. Hashtag Marvel Shame.
Yes. So... the Marvel Standard Continuity, which just had its big shakeup with Marvel Now, is going to fight against the Marvel Ultimate Universe.
For supremacy.
Well, no, there's basically going to be some kind of conglomeration of the two.
It's going to create Battle World, but it'll also be bringing back a whole bunch of older storylines, too.
Yeah, which could be good, could be bad. The only... I see some problems with this. Marvel, just very recently, within the last year or less, released a couple of really good comic books, which come May not be here anymore.
Right.
Miss Marvel. Mm-hmm. No, Captain Marvel, formerly Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers. Yeah.
Ms. Marvel as well, who ended up being our comic of the year.
That's true. You know, Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, Indestructible Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
I mean, these comics, which...
Chitter, chick.
Yeah. I mean, these are comics that are very well written, entertaining, you know, promote a strong female lead character.
Thor,
yes. And come May... it might all go bye-bye.
Well, not just that. You've got Captain America is now...
Oh, yeah, Falcon. You
know, Sam Wilson III.
Yeah.
You've got Iron Man, who's going down a really dark path that could end up being really good, because Superior Spider-Man had some really good moments.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Spider-Verse, which has been really fun to follow.
Well, the nice thing about Spider-Verse is it's going to conclude its run...
Yeah.
...and kick off the Secret Wars, which will...
Right, but, you know, obviously... I've got two predictions of this. One, I think that it's a great way to bring Gwen Stacy back permanently, because the fan outcry for a Gwen Stacy book was huge.
And Marvel has said that they are going to do a Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman ongoing series.
And secondly, fans are also really into Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to bring him in with the... because they kind of tease that with a volume of All-New X-Men, sending the All-New X-Men to the Ultimate Universe for some shenanigans. So this could be, I don't know, it has
some potential,
yeah.
But at the same token, it's very unnerving because they've just started a lot of things and now they're shaking the tree again.
Right, but the difference, I think, is with Marvel now, yeah, it was kind of a fresh start for some things, but a lot of the things that had happened had still happened.
This
is kind of like with New 52.
Which
this will be like a complete continuity wipe and start over, essentially.
Yeah. Which again has its problems.
Yeah,
I mean, because you, if you're gonna do a big shakeup like this, you might as well just, it's like an etch a sketch, just shake it, get rid of it, and start over. My problem is when you do a shakeup, and you include, you know, bits and pieces from A and throw it in with B, it gets confusing because okay, well, why didn't this get included? Well,
right.
Why didn't, you know?
One could conceivably shake it off.
Yes.
Yes.
That was my biggest problem with New 52. It pick and chose what it wanted, but left a lot of really good stuff out.
Yeah. Well, the other problem with New 52 is that for a lot of people, they just had a brand new status quo. But for some, like Batman and Green Lantern, since they had really big stories that were ongoing, those just kept going.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, screw the reboot. We're doing what we're doing, and we're not changing for anything.
Yeah. I mean, okay, he gets a costume reboot, and he... he becomes younger, which means all of this stuff that happened gets crammed into like 3 years.
Yeah.
Which...
there's no way he'd be alive.
No. But... So there's that.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for Secret Wars, but on the same token, you know, it's... you know, some would argue, well, you know, this is technically the first full reboot Marvel has done.
This is true.
But I would argue, like, they're comic books. You don't really need to do a reboot in the first place. A, you've got Wikipedia. And B, just because some of the stories took place in the 60s doesn't mean that they're not still relevant.
They're like soap operas.
Yeah.
They don't reboot.
No.
Well, maybe they do. I don't watch soap operas.
Yeah, I don't know, St. Elmo's Fire, maybe. I don't know. St. Elsewhere. That's what it was. St. Elmo's Fire. Wow,
that's a
really?
Movie.
I know, yeah.
And...
Reboot! Then he double taps that
Let
little icon
burn.
On his chest, you know.
Yeah.
And...
let it burn.
Megabyte!
Jeez. Anyway, speaking of Marvel and their reboot.
Yes.
The first book of the Secret Wars, which is coming out, is the all-new, all-different Avengers.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be free on Free Comic Book Day. Not just a snippet of it,
nice.
The whole first issue. Secret Wars Zero, essentially. So, look for that. Free Comic Book Day this year, 2015. That's cool. When is Free Comic Book Day again, Darren?
That is the first Saturday in May.
There you go.
easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yep.
And you can go to freecomicbookday.com and find out exactly which comic book store in your location or your general geographic region is having it. And I'm lucky enough to have three comic book stores within driving distance that all have it. So usually I end up working that weekend just through some weird twist of fate, but that means as soon as I'm done with, you know, my morning shift, boom, I'm in line.
You're already not at home.
I'm already not at home.
There you go.
So I don't need to get dressed. I'm already dressed.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
You're
in
radio.
I am.
Which means pants that we can't guarantee that you are actually dressed.
At least at my workplace, pants are still required. There are security cameras. So, you know,
that
but
just tells me walk proud.
Strut.
I saw a pair of
man, why are you talking about pairs?
I saw a pair of boxer briefs that looked, that had been designed to look like denim short shorts. So technically, you just walk around in your underwear and it just looks like you're wearing shorty shorts.
Ooh, I like that. I like it.
Your wife probably won't, but
Who wants some pajama jeans?
There you go. So on to happier news, I guess, rather than things getting shaken up and rebooted and whatever. Coming in March of 2015, IDW Publishing is going to release a new collection of Disney comics.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, you know.
You would think that Marvel would be all over that.
You would think. I find it funny that sometimes companies that own brand X kind of
just outsource it.
Yeah. The four premiere issues will offer 48 pages, and they're going to be like $4. And the subsequent issues are going to be 40 pages per issue at the same cover price.
Hmm.
So, you know, you get a decent sized comic for less than, you know, a Superman book.
Yeah, nowadays, yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
Whatever happened to holding the line at $2.99? Yeah. Remember that?
That got rebooted.
It did get rebooted, yeah.
So look for new Disney comics coming out in April, which is good. Because, you know, some of those were fun.
Yeah.
Some of those were fun.
Good times.
Let's see. What else we got? Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Oh, there's going to be a one-of-a-kind Howard the Duck variant. The evolution of Howard variant.
You mean like the hatching of Howard?
Yes, the hatching of Howard. Oh, this is...
Yep.
Yeah.
What more can be said? You know, Howard the Duck is a fun comic. You know, we can't let the movie taint it forever.
I really don't. I try not to, but it's one of those things where I hear Howard the Duck and all of a sudden I see Leah Thompson trying to make out with a Muppet.
I get cold sweats.
Duck tits flash in front of my eyes and I go blind for, you know. So
let's move on.
Yeah. And finally,
somebody's getting Nom flashbacks because of this.
And finally, Warner Brothers has officially announced that their next movie, animated movie, will be Batman versus Robin.
Nice. It'll still be a tie-in with the DC animated universe.
Yeah, I mean, they've started doing that now from Flashpoint on. Everything's kind of tying into itself. So that's, I'm glad they're kind of taking some pre-52 storylines.
Well, they're combining Batman and Son with the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty interesting.
That does look interesting.
And to be fair, now, I Batman and Son, I think I was disappointed in, mostly because I know they only had like an hour and a half to work with, but it didn't really seem like Damian did anything to deserve being Robin.
Yeah.
In that
movie.
I
mean, they could have taken the point that they did with The Dark Knight Returns, made it two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was okay with that because they included just about everything from The Dark Knight Returns.
But, you know, that being said, I'm interested in it. Justice League, Throne of Atlantis is an adaptation of the same graphic novel, and that is out by the time you hear this podcast. In fact, it'll be among the giveaways for something very special we're doing that we'll tell you about later on in the show. But, you know, hopefully Batman versus Robin turns out to be good.
I'm trying to find a release date. Do you have any idea when it's going to be?
They usually follow a release date of like January and sometime in summer. That's how they've been staging the movies. So I imagine this will be like a July or an August release. Because remember, they're doing three movies a year. They're doing two DCAU, and then they're doing one solo Batman one, basically, because screw you, Batman is the only character in our company.
Of course, yeah.
April 14th.
April 14th. All right, a little early. It's right in time for Avengers.
There you go. Early retail prices are going to run from like $30 for the deluxe edition, $25 for the combo pack, and $20 for just the DVD.
Just wait closer to launch before you pre-order.
Yeah, these prices are not set in stone. That's just kind of what they're...
Most retailers drop the price the first week of release.
Yeah. So that's all I've got for comics. Darren, you got anything?
Not other than what I just, you know, chimed in on. That's pretty much all I have. Just Chad?
Chad?
Narp. All right. Well,
Narp.
Two things before we wrap up the segment. One, again, we are proud partners with the DeetSpeak Podcast Network, thedeetspeaknetwork.net. And if you like our comic segment, you might like Epic Comic Cast. They recently joined the network, and it's just nothing but comic books. So they go into even more detail than we can because we've become a little jaded. So you can check out Epic Comic Cast.
We've become jaded, and I've become tired. So
at thedeetspeaknetwork.net. But
sorry.
You know, comics are great, but so are books.
Books are good.
Books are good, especially when they're read to you.
Yes.
Either by the author or by someone famous.
This is true, yes. Because I got to admit, my audio copy of Stephen Colbert's I Am America and So Are You, read by the author, is great.
You know, by the way, that's available on audible.com.
Really?
Yeah. Along with about 150,000 other titles. Now, if only there were a way that we could kind of give someone a free copy of that.
I got it.
Okay.
You go to audible.com/geekcavepodcast.
Right.
Sign up for a free membership.
Yeah, the 30-day trial.
You get a free book,
mm-hmm.
and you get to keep it.
Oh, so even if you cancel the account,
yes.
you still get to keep. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
This just came to me.
Off the top of your head. That was really impressive.
Hey, I get a good idea every now and then.
You know.
You should comb your hair down more often.
You know, we could even put like a little clickable ad on our website at geektapepodcast.com.
Chad, make it happen.
Wiggle my nose.
It just happened.
I also would have, you know.
We also would have accepted typing noises.
Yeah, clacking noises on the keyboard in front of you.
He seemed he wanted it magicked.
Okay, well, it's there now. Right.
I had to say wiggle my nose.
Yeah, it's theater of the mind.
Otherwise, I would have had to say cross my arms and blink.
I dream of chatty. anyway, geekcavepodcast.com. We've got a link there as well. Take a break. We come back. It's the gaming segment. We got a little bit of stuff from PAX South, plus a situation that happened to Sony more than 3 years ago is still bothering them. And you could benefit with a free game. So stick around. More GK will come.
Hey, it's Darren from the Geek Cave Podcast for Shirtosaurus.com. You know why we love Shirtosaurus? Because they do so much for their fans. Right now at Shirtosaurus.com, there are giveaways, free shipping offers, and some of the hottest and most creative designs in geek culture available on t-shirts, sweatshirts, blankets, and more. Do yourself a favor and hit up Shirtosaurus.com right now and get shopping.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. We dig up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. To find out the latest from The Geek Cave, visit geekcavepodcast.com or facebook.com/geekcave. The Geek Cave Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm going to say something funny to make Darren laugh.
Yay.
I'm not as creative as Justin.
Aw.
I'm not creative Justin as either.
You're not creative Justin as either.
I'm tired. Shut up.
Sorry.
I'm shut tired up.
So, games?
Games. Geek Cave Podcast brought to you by Shirtosaurus, Audible.com, and BuzzTime. All right, so...
In no particular order.
In no particular order. We're just kind of throwing names up, and as they land, we call them out. So, have you guys seen the video of that Super Mario World glitch?
Yes!
Yeah, it's on our DeepCavePodcast.com website. So, this dude uses a very, very elaborate glitch, like placing, you know, Koopa shells in precise order, picking up a P-block at the same time as a collapsible block, all this stuff. And
the number of times he has to do this.
Yeah, and it's from Yoshi Island 2, like the one of the first worlds. No, it's he went to the right.
Oh,
the left
I thought
Yoshi
Island 1. I thought you meant Yoshi Island 2
was
in the game.
No, I mean Super Mario World, Yoshi Island map.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Level 2.
But basically, it allows him to, within the span of about 5 minutes, jump straight to the credits. First time anyone had ever done this on a console. Not bad.
Now, how are we aware this glitch even exists?
I see. Here's the thing. Someone discovered it when they were like using an emulator. And so they're thinking, well, theoretically, since we're just emulating the hardware and software, we should be able to pull this off on it. Has the time to think of this?
I've seen this. I've watched the guy perform this glitch.
Yeah.
How in your right mind do you come across this accidentally?
Yeah.
Because the things he had to do were very precise, very repetitive.
I mean, he had to, like, make sure... He even, like, kind of, like, stutter-stepped a few times to make sure Mario was in this exact location
yes.
and all this stuff.
I mean, this is not the thing you do randomly.
Yeah, this is, like, some freaking marine biology
kind of
stuff.
It's not like, you know, in Super Mario Bros. 3, in one of the levels where you crouch down on a certain block and you can go behind the scenery and just run straight to the end.
Center white block on 1-3.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, that is every single white block.
Oh, didn't know that.
Like that, every single white block like that, you can crouch down and drop behind.
I'd only tried it on the one.
I know what I'm doing when we're done with this.
Yes.
So,
but, you know, it's like, okay, I ducked and I just I got distracted and next thing I know, I'm behind the tree. You know, it's accidental. This guy had to go through 5 minutes worth of prep to get a glitch.
Yeah. So, but it was really impressive, and you can see the video.
I guess. I mean.
Well, it's impressive in the vein that, like, you know, I didn't know you could do that kind of thing. So.
But at the end, does it say that when the credits are finished rolling, does it give you the credit of, you beat the game, and here's all your.
Yeah, I mean, you get, like, you know, you beat the game in X amount of time.
Yeah.
So, congratulations. You could have been enjoying the game.
Could have, you know.
But instead you broke it.
So. Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of breaking things, Windows 10 and Xbox One are going to be kind of united fairly soon.
Yeah.
You've heard Windows 10 is going to be free to adopters of Windows 7 and
Windows
8.
I love that they just came out with Windows 8 and like, yeah, you can upgrade to 10 for free.
Screw 9. We're not even going to talk about 9.
We're just jumping straight to 10.
We want to skip the next good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. In favor of.
Yeah. That's usually how it goes. But
and why would you want to upgrade from Windows 7? Windows 7 is good. 8 is the one that sucks.
10 is supposed to be pretty good,
yes,
what I've
heard. Yes, but theoretically, 9 should be the next good one.
Yes. Well, now they're just throwing off the number system, so you won't even be able to tell eventually. But Phil Spencer...
I have a spreadsheet. I'll know.
But yeah, Phil Spencer, he's the guy in charge of the Xbox division. You know, there's a lot of... he did promise when he took over that they would be taking advantage of the PC market more, because that's one thing I've always found odd, is like Microsoft, when you think of PCs, you think Microsoft, and yet Steam... is pretty much dominant in the PC gaming market.
Yeah.
But now Windows 10 and Xbox One users will be able to, you know, online multiplayer with each other.
Now, will I still need an Xbox One? Or will I be able to put the discs in the computer now?
I think if you buy an Xbox One disc, you're going to have to play it on an Xbox One. But you'll be able to stream gameplay from your Xbox to your PC and vice versa.
See, that's like trying to play your vinyl record in the toaster oven.
Yeah. There'll be game DVR, whole bunch of stuff. Certain Xbox One exclusives are now no longer exclusive because they'll be on PC as well. That's Microsoft kind of shooting themselves in the foot. You could buy an Xbox One for Fable Legends, or you can just get it on PC.
Yeah.
You already have a PC. Why would you want to buy our Xboxes? I mean, let's not be stupid. So, so that's all going to be shaping up for this year. Wanted to not really send condolences per se, but you know, share our you know, thinking
our,
about these people,
our
at
thoughts.
The Escapist and Game Trailers. You know, some people who are doing, you know, what we're trying to do at the Geek Cave. You know, just entertain folk, talk about this kind of stuff we love. But Defy Media had to cut a whole bunch of jobs. including firing the Escapist editor-in-chief, Greg Tito. They cut jobs at Gamefront, Game Trailers, and Escapist. Tito said it was a large number of employees. And in the past 12 months, this is like the fifth big layoff that I can remember us talking about. GameSpot cut a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Polygon cut a bunch of people. Machinima, Official Nintendo Magazine, and now Defy Media with Escapist, Gamefront, and Game Trailers. It's bad enough for Game Trailers because they had just gone through a bunch of layoffs, and then Defy Media bought them, and now another bunch of layoffs. So our thoughts to them. The Escapist now says they're going to be shifting coverage from a curmudgeon mentality to more of an enthusiast one, which I'm okay with that. You know, I'm tired of going to a video game website and, you know, hearing this game is bad and you should feel bad for liking it.
I wonder what Yahtzee's going to do.
Yeah, seriously.
If he can't be curmudgeonly anymore, that's...
Well, Jim Sterling just bloody left both Destructoid and Escapist and did his own thing now.
Well, yeah,
created
that's true.
The Jimquisition.
The Jimquisition. And make sure you put the.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to get...
Something you shouldn't.
Something you shouldn't at work anyway. So, the Jimquisition.com. And, you know, a lot of people are going that way, the Patreon route. I know that Adam Sessler went and kind of did his own thing with Rev4 Games as well.
Yeah.
So, but it is, you know, it's sad, and we wish them the best. You can read all about it at DeepTapePodcast.com. I talked with Tom a little bit about this. You guys have heard about the new Nintendo 3DS, because why give a new console a different name?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I listen to the Geek Man Cave.
Of course you do. Well, you should, because...
Well, let's face it, people of style and sophistication.
Mm. In fact, Tom right now is giving away... Tom's right now giving away some nature boxes. Mm-hmm. You can get like some natural snacks from him. Be sure to find his post on Facebook.com/DeepCave. But I still can't wrap my mind around... You release a new handheld system, but you don't include an AC adapter.
That makes sense to me. Everybody's already got a 3DS.
Yeah. Except for people who sell their 3DS to buy the new 3DS.
So keep the cord.
Then you're not going to make as much money selling the old 3DS. I mean, you could just
go out.
You're
already spending your money somewhere. Either you're not going to get
or you're
going to
buy another
bucks,
one, yeah.
Or you're going to buy one for 10 bucks.
I know, it's just...
Give or take.
This is the kind of stuff that helps Nintendo stay in second or third place.
Well, look at it this way.
This is the kind of like Bush League shenanigans.
This is the kind of stuff they've been pulling in Japan for years.
Yeah, and Japan's okay with it.
Yeah, and they are now holding us to that higher level of expectation as they do their home country.
You know, maybe you shouldn't be selling your old system.
Yeah. Well, they don't want you to. I know that.
I still have my original Nintendo and my Super Nintendo.
Well, that's good. Good. But I'm just saying.
I still think that Nintendo dropped the ball on that first one, though, not having a top-loading system.
Well, they did later.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked out for them for years. So I don't know if dropping the ball is the right word. They obliterated the Sega Master System.
I'm going to say drop the ball.
Okay.
After 3 months, when you have to spend almost more time getting the thing to work than just having it work.
But, you know, blowing on the cartridges, you know, built up good lung capacity.
It did.
It was good. It was good breathing. It was good breathing exercises. Hey, those games have
use a Q-tip.
Those games can be put through a lot of crap and still work.
Nintendo really, when they kind of locked down on the game industry for a while, they really forced some good practices to happen.
Yes.
And you know what? We like Nintendo. Why are you guys being dumb? That's all.
Well, it seems like the thing to do with Sony and
I know,
Microsoft,
but you should see, and that's the thing. People are like, why can't you be?
Maybe they're trying to drive people to the Sega Dreamcast. They're still making games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. 15 years later, and
it's
still
great.
Making Dreamcast
Mostly
games.
In Brazil.
Well, yeah, but you can get them imported.
Well, yeah. I'm
and that's the point is, you know, there's still games being made.
Of course, then you have to be able to speak Portuguese.
Well, not necessarily. There are some websites that will sell you an English copy. Hmm. So, which, by the way, if you go to DeepTapePodcast.com, we've got a link to that story.
There you go.
Nicely played, Chad. Good job.
You're welcome.
Good job. But yeah, also on the Nintendo.
I'm going to say things that reference back to our website.
Well done.
Yay, I get praise.
Also on the...
I feel worthwhile.
On the Nintendo list, Club Nintendo is going away.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
So they're going to...
No more buttons?
And we know you really love the buttons.
Oh, yes. They were one of my favorite things ever. Starting in sometime this spring, they're going to... March or April is when it's going away, and they're going to replace it with another reward system, which is still cool because Sony and
Fight Club Nintendo. Truffles. We don't talk about it.
Yeah, which is funny because like neither Sony nor Microsoft, they both have rewards programs, but no one really A, knows how to use them, and B, cares enough to use them. So at least Club Nintendo was doing a good job. I don't know what they're going to replace it with, but if you have any coins, well, one, you can't earn any more coins for registering games. You can't. That's just done. But you can still earn them for surveys and whatnot, and if you want to redeem them for any digital purchases, you might want to do it now.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, sometime this month, this podcast, it goes up the first Wednesday of February, and that'll be like the last Club Nintendo update, so... Do it now. You know, go get Punch Out for the fifth time or something, whatever. So you can give the code to a friend. I don't know. Yeah. Not much PAX South news really kind of, you know, nothing that was really a surprise anyway. Oh, another Borderlands. That's, yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Hey.
One indie developer created something called Social Justice Warriors, where you. Your character can be like a social justice mage or something on a computer, and you are doing battle with an internet troll, that kind of stuff. So, okay, fine, call that what it is. We're just gonna
put this here and
let it hang there.
Yeah.
And the last thing I have is, if you had a PSN account in 2011, you remember when the big PSN outage happened,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of people got some free stuff for it, you know?
Yep.
Now you can get free stuff again.
Now, is it because of the outage back then, or because they got hacked?
It's about the 2011 outage. This is due to a $15 million settlement they've done with the U.S. government. And that means that you can either get a free PS3 game, like Infamous or Little Big Planet or God of War HD, or you can get 3 months of PlayStation Plus, which is a good deal, or you can get 3 PlayStation themes. And I swear to you, if you take the 3 PS3 themes... you're missing out. Because PlayStation Plus, you get 2 free games of that every month anyway, so you could get conceivably 6.
Now, for those of us who don't remember, what happened in 2011?
In 2011, hackers...
Some of us have had kids since then and haven't slept.
In 2011, there was a big security breach where people's identities were compromised.
Someone got credit card numbers
and everything.
That's right.
Sony, on a make good, this was of their own volition, offered everyone like a year of identity protection. No, 2 years of identity protection, as well as everyone got 2 free games. I got Little Big Planet 2 and Infamous.
I don't remember what I got.
I grabbed F-Zero X.
Wipeout HD.
Well, yeah, that was one of them.
Basically F-Zero, but yeah.
Yeah, that was one of them. I don't remember what the other one was.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, it's practically what it is. You also get a free month of Music Unlimited if you have a Curiosity account. Anyone remember Curiosity? I don't know.
It killed my cat.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just...
Did you just now get that?
No, I was just trying to go on, and I just couldn't let it go any longer. But in order to get benefits, you have to file...
Timing!
You have to file a claim form if you want any of these things. I don't really want any of it. I already got something from Sony.
Yeah, I don't...
You know? But if you do... PSNSOESettlement.com. PlayStation Network, Sony Online Entertainment Settlement. So PSNSOESettlement.com. You need to fill out a claim by August 31st if you want some free stuff.
Speaking of the outages and Sony making good, did you hear about the most recent one from the Christmas DDoS attack?
The Lizard Squad folks. Yeah, what about them?
Sony is offering a 5-day extension for PS Plus for
I got my extension. Yeah.
Who had PS Plus, and 10% off of a purchase. Not like 10% off of one game, but buy 17 games.
Yeah.
And spend...
Well, you mean offered, because it happened like this past weekend. You know?
Yeah, offered. Yeah.
So, but, it's 10% discount. Ooh, yeah, it's nice.
But for what amounts to... you know, a couple days or a week of being offline.
I mean, it's generous. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to give you anything because it wasn't their fault.
Yeah, it wasn't their fault.
They don't have to give you anything. So it's not bad.
I'm thrilled. It turns my little $20 Sony card into a $22 Sony card.
There you go.
For
You can get some you can get some DLC along with it, you know. So, but you know, it's just been bad to be Sony lately.
I don't buy games that have day one downloads anymore.
Well, no, but like if you want DLC after the fact, you know. Yeah. But that's pretty much all I've got for gaming, I believe.
I just want Batman Arkham Knights to come out for the PS3. Because I really don't want to buy a PS4 just yet.
You might have to come visit.
I might.
Yeah. You can visit either Chad or myself.
Oh, darn. I have to come visit you guys.
I know.
Shucks.
The satellite cave.
Well, we got two of them, just one of them that never gets used. So
it's because it's tiny.
That's also further, well, not further away, just in like a not very conducive direction. So that being said.
The satellite caves are equidistant from the main cave.
Yeah.
It's just your satellite cave is tiny.
Mine is farther from Chad's cave.
Farther from Chad's cave. Well, Chad's cave is farther from your cave.
Yes.
But Chad's cave is also, Chad's cave is,
is massive.
Chad's satellite cave is the biggest. It's bigger than the main cave.
That's true. Everyone sitting listening to this is like, what the hell are they talking about?
It's a command center.
Yeah.
It's a basement.
It's a command center. No, that would be Tom's cave.
McLean.
Tom's cave is based.
It took me two listenings to realize what that was from. I was like, really? Die Hard 4? Die Hardest?
Tom, sorry.
Tom, I love you, man. That just hurt me a little bit that I had to.
Oh, hey.
That it took me two listenings to realize. I know that's Die. Oh. And two, that you'd use Die Hard 4.
I mean, we all know after.
There are at least two previous diehards that are really good.
Yeah, send, one and three.
Send all Geek Cave hate mail to Tom at. Deek Man Cave, Memphis, Tennessee.
subject, Chad's annoyance.
We're going to take a quick break. Chad, do you have anything for Jamie?
No, I said it.
Going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's the movie segment. More Geek Cave to come.
Oh, hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave. Buzz time at the bar?
Ooh, buzz time at the bar.
Get out of the house. See why thousands play Buzz Time Poker each week at their favorite bar. To find a location near you, go to buzztime.com.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Buzz Time. Great minds drink alike. Warning. The Geek Cave is not for nerds, except for the parts that are, we think.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
And while your satellite cave may have better internet, Chad's is the more comfortable and the more spacious.
That's Justin.
I'm Chad, and I'm comfortable pretty much anywhere I don't have to wear pants.
This is true.
Yeah, that's very true.
So. He's not wearing them now.
Geek Cave brought
delightful.
Geek Cave brought
gonna
you.
Have to walk
he's the wacko
chair.
Warner of the three of us.
Buzz Time, Shirtosaurus, and Audible bringing you the Deep Cave Podcast.
Darren's Dot.
And now news. So the problem with movie news in January, early February, is everything's spinning around the Oscars.
Yeah.
And
I don't watch the Oscars. I mean,
I don't either.
The Oscars, they seem to be more interested in telling me how sophisticated they are rather than...
Well, the Oscars are more about, like, we're great, here's a political opinion we think you should have, and then let's move on.
Well, they used to be this measuring stick of great movies, great actors.
Used to be.
And they stopped that somewhere along, well, honestly, they probably never really were. They were just better.
Yeah.
Because since their inception, it's been a political game. I mean, Citizen Kane did not win Best Picture. Do you know what did? Neither does anyone else.
Yeah, good point.
You know, it's just one of those, and it was a political game.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get somebody who, you know, Pacino won a Best Actor award some year over something else that really should have got it, but he had been passed over in a previous role.
So he deserved it.
So he deserved it from not just the one anyway.
Shenanigans.
Now, most of the folks listening to us, they've already seen the list of nominations. They've noticed a few noticeable
Absences.
Lego Movie.
Yep.
Lego Movie was nominated only for Best Original Song, Everything is Awesome. And now, I didn't expect it to get the Best Picture nomination, necessarily, but I figured it would at least make Best Animated Feature Film. I mean, even just on the list. Now, that being said, the Best Animated Feature Film list is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Hero 6, Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
I would have replaced How to Train Your Dragon 2 with Lego Movie, even though I really liked How to Train Your Dragon 2.
I have it sitting on my table at home. I have yet to see it.
But the thing
I've heard really great things
it's
about.
Good. It's just kind of by the numbers kind of
well,
thing.
Well, here's the thing. How to Train Your Dragon 2 and 1, it's a standard computer-generated movie, CGI cartoon. You know, there's... It looks pretty.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, but it's something that's, you know, been done before or, you know, a lot. The Lego Movie was made entirely with Legos and minimal, you know, a little bit of CGI here and there, but it was all Legos. The Box Trolls was all, you know, stop motion animation, which is very time, you know, it takes like 3 hours to do 10 seconds of film.
Keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 24 pictures to a second. Well, yeah. 30 pictures to a second. Leica does 30 pictures to a second.
I'm not good at math. Shut up.
For Paranorman, they had a segment that took them almost 6 months to do. It was 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
Jeebus.
But, I mean, stuff like that deserves to be nominated because a lot of time and innovation and effort went into it. And obviously good writing to get noticed in the first place. Not dismissing How to Train Your Mother.
Not dismissing How to Train Your Mother either, yeah.
Which is something Darren needs help with.
Duly noted.
But it's a CGI cartoon. I mean...
It is probably... It is a good movie and certainly deserving of being watched and maybe even deserving to be on the list, but you're telling me that you didn't have room for one more?
Yeah.
Where are the rules that say you can only have six nominees? I mean,
you remember when it was just like three or four?
Yeah.
And then they just keep expanding
but
it.
But it was a few years ago. Didn't they have like 12
eight
Best Picture
or something?
Nominations?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Now it's 8 Best Picture nominations? Yeah.
I just hate the fact that the Oscars have Best Picture nominations for films that aren't even out yet. They're not even in theaters, but they're already the best picture.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. No, you're not. So, next year.
Yeah. No, there should be a cutoff date, and then if you get it in before then,
well, critics have seen it, so it counts. No, fuck you.
No, it doesn't.
That's my one.
So, anyway, the Marvel movies have shown up again.
Yay!
But only for visual effects. Mm. That's it. No, well, no acting, no writing, no
soundtrack.
Editing.
Because until, I don't know, Dark Knight... was probably going to be the closest that will come in a while. And that was, again, as you said, kind of politically minded, what with Heath Ledger's death and everything.
Yeah.
Not discounting his performance, but
no, his performance
being
was,
honest here. The it was
surprisingly good given the internet backlash from when he was announced as the Joker.
But the reason that it got a nomination at all was because he had died.
Yes.
Let's just be honest. So, you know, there will be years, and we've talked about this before, where there will be a Marvel movie that blows anything else in theaters out of the water. It's not going to get a Best Picture nomination. It's not going to get a Best Acting nomination. It's not, unfortunately.
Well,
that's what we are for.
True.
I would love to have seen Vin Diesel be nominated for Best Actor for Guardians of the Galaxy. No, Best Actor.
We should just do like a complete award show with like numerous categories. The Golden Justins 2015 edition. Yeah. I don't know.
Because let's face it, Groot was the breakout character of that movie.
And he broke too.
Aw, too soon. But he came back, so it's okay.
He's Groot.
Now, in the category for visual effects, Captain America Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy are facing off against Days of Future Past and Interstellar and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Guardians.
Well, we would certainly give it to Guardians.
Yes.
And there's certainly a really great argument there with Rocket and Groot alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's discounting anything having to do with any of the spaceships. The giant floating head.
Yeah.
You know, the cosmic god.
What, Nowhere.
The, Nowhere.
Yeah.
A lot of great stuff there. Captain America Winter Soldier, I don't think has it for visual effects.
No.
Most of the things there, unless they're going practical effects, because there are a lot of good
practical effects.
Practical
effects were fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't see Days of Future Past. I've heard that it's very, very good.
Oh, the Quicksilver scene alone could probably win the award. It was really good.
Truth be told, my prediction is that either Interstellar or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is going to get it.
Mother!
For a couple reasons. On Interstellar, it's Christopher Nolan, who has been snubbed more than once.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because of Batman films.
And it's very science-y and highbrow. You know, the other one...
Got Matthew McConaughey.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. You've got Andy Serkis in that full motion capture the entire movie.
Right.
And everything about that was a visual effect. It wasn't just some of it.
Yeah.
It was everything about that. It, as much as it pains me to say, I would like to see Guardians win because they went and did something that was a bit fantastic. I think that ultimately Dawn of the Planet of the Apes will win it because it was doing something fantastic terrestrial.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's all on Earth. It's stuff that...
Space scares.
We've seen apes, so we can relate.
Well, yes. We know what real is supposed to look like here.
Yeah.
But what does real look like on another planet? Or what does real look like
right
when you've got a talking raccoon?
Well, isn't that the point of movies? It's a fantasy. It allows you to escape reality.
One would think, and yet one would be wrong.
Well, one generally is.
Now, the only other news really coming at the Oscars that I found worthy to tell you fine folks on the other end of the speaker is that Neil Patrick Harris is set to host.
Okay.
Considering the demise of the Oscars as a relevant source of movie quality recommendations, I guess they having some kind of, you know, air quotes, hip and air quotes host is kind of their last ditch effort. I mean, last year with Seth MacFarlane and Ellen DeGeneres hosting, the Oscars saw one of their biggest audiences yet.
Yeah.
So
Neil Patrick Harris tweeted just the other day that there's going to be some shakeups with the Oscars when he hosts. Not only is there the standard acceptance speech, but all the losers have to give concession speeches.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Well, here's to you, NPH, and may you make the Oscars worth watching for somebody.
At least the segments that you're in.
Well, it'll be the opening segment.
The opening segment will be good.
Will be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Razzies, on the other hand,
woo!
Have done something that I think should be both mentioned and applauded.
Okay.
Now, the Razzies...
Wait.
No, I'm just warming them up.
Get your clapping hands ready, folks.
If you don't know, the Razzies are kind of the anti-Oscars. One, they're relevant. Two, they point out worst performances. Except this year, they're including a brand new category. A redeemed category.
Ooh.
For those who have risen from the ashes of mediocrity, or worse, and proven themselves. So this year, their nominations are Ben Affleck, From Geely to Argo and Gone Girl.
Mm.
That is a
leap. You know,
Jennifer Aniston, from four-time Razzie nominee to Cake, which is the movie she was in.
Oh, I thought like we were actually having Cake. Okay.
Mike Myers, from The Love Guru to directing Supermensch.
Hmm.
Keanu Reeves, from six-time Razzie nominee to John Wick. And Kristen Stewart, from six-time Razzie winner for Twilight to Camp X-Ray. Now, personally, I'm hoping to see Keanu Reeves win.
Yeah.
Personally, Affleck is really good, and I think he deserves it.
But he won't be there.
But honestly, I think he's going to get his props once he rocks Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yes. Because let's face it. I mean, this is going to be phenomenal.
I think the movie itself, whatever its quality... the actors that they have in it will be able to bring a whole bunch to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Ben Affleck.
I think Batfleck will be good.
Ben Affleck will certainly... the Bruce Wayne portions, I think he will absolutely nail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
And if I can say that Michael Keaton... I think we pretty much agree that Michael Keaton surprised everyone.
He did.
And became kind of the definitive Batman for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Bale for the next, for our generation. And so Ben Affleck might very well be the next incarnation of that great Batman.
Right. And, you know...
if he holds on to it for more than two movies.
You know, Daredevil was a very similar character, and I still think that Ben Affleck was the best part of Daredevil. So, you know, I think that it's very likely that he could pull it off.
So, in terms of the Razzies actually... the Razzies acknowledging the bad while rewarding the good is a good step for them, and quite honestly, may lead to them becoming the next relevant Oscars.
Nice.
Do we applaud now?
Yeah.
And you like. So, a little while back, Netflix had announced that they were going to get into the producer business.
That's why they're pulling My Little Pony.
For theatrical release movies. And the movie they announced was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon Part 2. And the plan was to release it simultaneously in theaters and on Netflix Instant.
Right.
And that upset a lot of theater chains who just decided, you know what, we're not going to show it.
Netflix is like, you know, like we never.
Yeah. So, and thus it made the movie almost a Netflix exclusive. It'll get some release from independent theaters, certainly, but for the most part, that's going to be a Netflix exclusive. Amazon has decided to do something pretty similar. Amazon's decided they're also going to go into the producing business and have expressed a goal of producing 12 original movies per year. Which is a lot.
Yeah.
An awful lot. Unlike Netflix, however, they're going to release in theaters for a first run. But then they're going to make them available on Amazon between 4 and 8 weeks after release.
Hmm.
So commentary-wise, I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of movies they'll be making. Because it takes, you know, it takes a long while to make movies.
There's a turnaround, yeah.
If you have a lot of effects or otherwise or scheduling. However, if all they do are character pieces or what we would consider kind of the small movies, yeah, that
it'll be movies like Rubber.
You're going to lose a lot of your potential audience that prefers to stream rather than attend a theater.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like my folks would watch just about anything that has an animal in it or a sports figure. Air Bud, I think, is their between Air Bud and Seabiscuit. I think are their favorite movies.
Now I'm picturing Air Seabiscuit.
Ooh, Air Biscuit.
So, but I mean, those kind of things work well not in the theater. You don't need a giant screen and super surround sound for those types of movies.
No.
But for something like Gladiator or Guardians of the Galaxy, having that theater experience makes the movie.
Right.
Doesn't detract from it watching it at home, but it certainly adds a different dimension to it first time out.
Agreed. So, good on you, Amazon. You know, making your money, letting the theaters make some money, and you making some money. Don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. What dost thou have, gentlemen?
Well, remember Bat Kid.
I do remember Bat Kid.
That was the feel-good story of the year.
Yeah. Kid with leukemia reaches out to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they grant his wish by allowing him, as Batman, to save the city of San Francisco from the Riddler.
Good deal.
It went viral, you know, made everybody feel good, you know. Well, they made a documentary about it. Okay, fine. It got some theater release. It was good.
Yeah.
Julia Roberts and her creative team and staff and peons and whatever.
Oh, yeah. Big name.
Big name. Have signed on to basically make the Bat Kid story.
Okay.
It's kind of like redoing the documentary, remaking the documentary, but as an actual theatrical release story. Yeah. And she is set to star in it.
Because when I think Bat Kid, I think fully grown adult woman.
Yeah. Well, she's set to play like the mother or something. That's the speculation. Bat Kid's mom.
Okay.
Wouldn't yeah, she's going to play Bat Kid.
Now, wouldn't Bat Kid be the star? I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, if there's health restrictions or anything like that, and obviously, he, you know, if he can't make...
No, I mean, like, if whatever child they get to play Bat Kid.
Well, yeah, but she's the big name that would help push it.
I see. Okay.
No. You know, it's like the movie...
Like Steven Spielberg Presents.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, it's like the...
Boomblocks.
The movie Beethoven with the dog. The dog was the lead, but Charles Grodin was the obvious, you know, big name star that pushed the movie out there. Because when I think big name star, I think Charles Grodin.
He was good in Dave.
He was good in Dave. He was relatively good in the Muppet
Caper. He was a good actor. It's just, you know, he got upstaged by Felt and Fur.
Well, you know.
Sounds like a really terrible band name. Felt and
Or
Felt
really and awesome cover band.
Fair enough.
There you go.
So Bat Kid Begins.
Bat Kid Begins. Yeah, I don't know if that's the official title or not. It might just be a working title. But we'll have Julia Roberts backing the production, starring in the production. And the executive producer of the documentary is thrilled by this.
Well, as long as the proceeds from the film go to Make-A-Wish, that would
be
fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I would love nothing more than to see that.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything we're passionate about here at the Geek Cave, it's helping out kids and whatnot. Yes. So,
that's all I got, Darren.
Well,
I passeth the torch.
Well, just to kind of piggyback on that helping kids thing, if you've been following our Facebook page, and you should, facebook.com/geekcave, or on Twitter at Geek Cave Podcast, then you'll see we have launched the 2015 Extra Life campaign. We are getting involved this year. Now, we're not going to be doing our gaming day in late October like everyone else does. We're going to do it somewhere around the middle of the year. We haven't really nailed down a date yet, but you can help us out right now. And the best part is not only are you going to be helping out our chosen hospital of Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, and helping pay for medical coverage that families can't afford for their kids, but also we're going to have a whole bunch of freebies. Warner Brothers has offered a couple of titles. They've offered the second season of Arrow absolutely free. They've offered Justice League Throne of Atlantis, a digital copy of that. And we got some more partners that we're working with right now. So if you want to get in on that, no donation limit, as much or as little as you want. As long as you don't donate anonymously, you'll be thrown into the drawing. Just find the post on our Facebook page or at geekcavepodcast.com. It'll take you right there to the donation page.
Yeah, now we will accept anonymous donations.
We will.
That's what you wish to do.
But if you want,
just won't get thrown into the mix for the prizes.
Indeed. If you want to be part of the giveaway, you need to give us your name. There'll be a sign-up sheet where you can put your name, email address, whatever. But if not, if you want to give anonymously, that's great too. There is no deadline. Even after the gaming day, we'll be collecting all the way up through the end of October. Just through the rest of the Extra Life campaign, we're just going to do our gaming day early, and we'll be sure to tell you how you can watch and participate in that as
yes.
well. Other than that, just got some small movie stuff. Well, one TV thing. CBS has its Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, who has been on Glee.
Is she a natural blonde?
No.
Boo!
Yeah, I know. People are already freaking out over it. Guys, calm down. One, wigs are a thing, and so is hair color. And two, you weren't there at her auditions, so shut your faces, please. But she'll be part of CBS's new Supergirl series, which CW says that there's going to be some crossover between Arrow and Flash and Supergirl, whereas CBS says there won't be. CBS owns CW, so we'll just have to wait and see. We'll have to wait. I think there's going to be some crossover.
Probably,
they'll
yes.
probably wait until Supergirl gets established and all that stuff. But
somewhere
we do
in season two.
But we do know that they are going to be directly referencing Superman and a few other things. It's not going to be like, you know, like how Arrow and Flash can kind of reference cities but not reference hero names. And Smallville couldn't even mention Batman, and Wonder Woman was just like a passing mention in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this will be direct. Yes, she's Superman's cousin. Here's all the stuff's going on. Suicide Squad needs a new lead because Tom Hardy, he stepped down. He was going to be playing Rick Flag.
I've had enough of this. I'm moving on to Greener Pastures.
And Jake Gyllenhaal said no as well.
I don't do a Jake Gyllenhaal impression.
Yeah, so they're still looking for a new lead. Now, that being said, since we've just put that out there, they're going to cast someone. And but even before we get the episode up, and for that, you're welcome, DC. And finally, we talked about the Hobbit trilogy being too big, and someone edited it down into a 4-hour
basically
film.
Two movies instead of three.
Now someone has edited that down to a 3-hour fan edit. And it's spectacular. It's phenomenal.
Before you know it, it's just going to be 2 minutes.
It's going to be like a 30-minute episode plus a recap.
Down to Goblin Town. It's just going to be the Rankin Bass.
It's going to be the animated movie, yeah.
It's like, hey, we did it.
You know what? That would be okay. I'd be okay with that.
Hipster Hobbit. They did it before it was cool.
That's all I got. Now, if you want to keep track of whether it's gaming, movie, or comic news, go to geekcavepodcast.com. You find a story you like, look at the tags, click on one of the tags, and it'll take you to everything that is associated with that topic, whether it's gaming, movies, or comics. That's all I got.
Just don't click on the tag with the washing instructions. I mean, that's not going to get you very far in terms of news.
Mm.
But if you want to know how to wash your whites, there you go.
Well, you put Justin in for about 30 minutes.
give me a book or something, because I'll get bored.
Give him a good spin cycle. Anyway, Chad.
I love a good spin cycle.
Are you ready for a random movie review?
I believe
I'm
I am.
I'm always ready for a random movie review.
Kent?
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
Well, we're going to pull it back just a little bit from last month. My voice has just recovered.
That was spectacular.
So, I have gotten a lot of compliments.
Oh, yes. Like you said, people have been talking about it for minutes.
Yes.
Literally minutes after hearing it.
Because I've told people, okay, this is going to be spectacular. And they've come back and said, yeah, that was spectacular. That was awesome. That was great.
Groovy.
So you need to do something like that at least once a year.
Ouch.
Once a year, you know.
Yes, but to try to top oneself.
You don't have to necessarily top oneself, just because that by far has been your best your review. Right.
We shook his hand after the episode.
Yes, yes. We would have lifted him up on our shoulders, but we're lazy.
I wasn't wearing pants.
Well, Chad had said earlier in the episode that it was hard to steal him anyway. So, this is true. We weren't going to be able to get away with him. But so,
anyway,
go back and listen to episode 51. Anyway, now.
So, because Scrooge McDuck pulled off such an upset last month with his fantastic win on behalf of Mickey's Christmas Carol, I've decided that each movie in the year 2015 will be from Disney.
Ooh.
So, to make this even easier...
Year of Disney!
To make this easier on me, I'm going to review only Disney movies that I have not seen before, and only movies from the Disney animated line.
Now, weren't you going to add a disclaimer here?
That's coming.
Okay.
Though I have seen a great number of these movies, there are some stunning gaps in my Disney experience. That particular disclaimer there is for this. Over the course of this year, I am no doubt going to be reviewing somebody's favorite childhood movie.
Yep.
There is certainly the possibility that one of these movies will become my new favorites, but it's unlikely, considering my intense fondness for the movies I already know and love. So, even if I don't like it, please do not be offended. I am coming at this from a 32 to 33-year-old adult male. So, without further ado, we review Sleeping Beauty, Disney's cautionary tale about the dangers of feminism.
Here we go.
The film begins, as many of those early films did, with the book. The book opens, the narration begins. In a faraway land, long ago, there lived a king and his queen. Many years they had longed for a child, and finally their wish was granted. You know, if they had tried sex instead of wishing, I imagine they might have been successful sooner.
You would think.
Anyway.
It worked for me.
A daughter was born, and they called her Aurora. Yes, they named her after the dawn, for she filled their lives with sunshine. Then a great holiday was proclaimed throughout the land so that all of high or low estate could pay homage to the infant princess.
I hope that her sister was named Borealis.
And our story begins on that most joyful day. The story then goes on that the infant is already betrothed to a prince, because...
That's not creepy.
As you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the look on his face as he look, because this prince is probably between 8 and 10 years old already, and they take him over to look in the crib, and he just gets this wonderful, what the heck? Look. It's like, she smells funny, Dad.
Get used to it, kid. You're marrying her.
Did they even wipe her off before they put her in here?
So the princess is then, quote, blessed, end quote. I'm putting that in quotation marks, just for fun.
Okay.
Because the blessed, by two fairies. One of them bestows the gift of beauty as the most shallow of the fairies. The second bestows the gift of song because she's a patron of the arts. Then Maleficent shows up, one of the most recognized villains in the Disney pantheon.
Lead villain of 2/3 of the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
Very good. And she sounds an awful lot like Lady Tremaine from Cinderella.
She does.
Fun fact, it is the same actress. That's
why.
Yeah. The actress who played Lady Tremaine initially turned it down. And Disney was surprised at why she would turn down Maleficent. And later she turned it down because she was suffering from tuberculosis at the time.
Oh.
And didn't want to thrash out her voice.
Wow.
You know, I now have a headcanon where, like, after the events of Cinderella happened, Lady Tremaine turned to dark magic, moved to another kingdom, and there you go.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
So, anyway... Maleficent feels snubbed due to her lack of invitation, and she bestows on the princess the gift of an early death and a beautiful corpse by finger prick on a spinning wheel spindle.
Nice.
Before the princess will turn 16 years old. After this, the third fairy bestows the gift of enchanted sleep rather than death because she's not a heartless and shallow wench. Mm. Everybody's got a reason for acting.
Mm. Yeah.
This isn't enough, obviously, to protect the wee little girl. And so the king has all the spinning wheels burned to prevent the curse, thus creating a huge increase in unemployment throughout the kingdom, increasing the cost of pretty much all fabric throughout the land, leading to an economic upheaval that would lead to revolution had it not been for the fairies spiriting the baby away to raise her, thus leading the entire kingdom to believe that the princess had been kidnapped and thus feeling sorry for the king. So,
gotcha.
I may just be reading into it.
Maybe just a wee bit.
Time goes on, and about 19 minutes into the movie, and the movie's very short. It's 75 minutes long.
Yeah.
About 19 minutes into the movie, we finally see our princess, who was named Aurora and is now named Briar Rose to accommodate the Germans. And this
because we don't want to piss off the Germans.
Well, this is actually true. The Sleeping Beauty was originally an Italian story, and in the Italian, she was given the name Aurora. And in the German version that Grimm later wrote down, her name was Briar Rose. So Disney...
just merged them.
Kind of merged the two.
Yeah. It was a Disney convergence.
Yeah.
So...
Secret Wars.
And let's face it, Disney didn't want to restart any old grievances.
No, let's not.
No.
So over the 20 minutes that Aurora Rose is in the movie, she has a few lines, a couple songs, dances with a stranger in the woods, unknowingly her betrothed prince. Becomes despondent when told by the fairies that having been raised by them, she's actually a princess and has to marry a prince. Boo hoo?
Darn.
Anyway.
But I just met this cute stranger in the woods.
Yep.
He had candy.
So meanwhile,
and a van.
Maleficent is angry at her hench animals. She doesn't have other people. They're all animals.
Right.
Since they haven't been able to find the princess, it come to find out that they've been looking for a baby for the entire 16 years.
I forgot about that.
The responsibility for the supervisory oversight is accepted graciously by Maleficent. She then corrects 16 years of frustration and incompetence by zapping nearly every hench animal she has with lightning.
There you go.
And then sends her pet raven to find the princess.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So... The fairies, meanwhile, are inept at doing things in a mundane fashion. They're so used to magic that they seem kind of helpless without it. And they're trying to get things ready for Aurora because it's her 16th birthday. She's going back to the kingdom. You know, if they just changed the date, you know, said, oh, well, really, your birthday's this day and we're going to celebrate on this day, then they could have kept her in the woods away from everything and all would be well and right with the world. That doesn't happen. So one is going to make a cake, one is going to make a dress, and it's absolutely awful. And so they decide to use their magic. They get into a magic fight to make things ready. The raven sees it, reports to Maleficent so that she can take care of her business. And...
Stupid fairies.
The stupid fairies take the now despondent Sleeping Beauty, who has not said anything since the cottage. And take her back to the kingdom and leave her alone in her room because that's a great idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maleficent hypnotizes the princess, takes her, you know, to the spinning wheel. She pricks her finger. She falls asleep. And then the fairies, because the fairies are really thinking this kind of thing through, pull a Goldfinger on everybody and they put everyone to sleep. They're like, you know what? Let's just put the entire kingdom to sleep. Why didn't we think of this earlier? We could have put everyone to sleep for 16 years and woken everybody up tomorrow, and it would have been taken care of.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Oh, well.
And generally, I think their ideas come from the House of Nightmares.
Okay. Because
just picture for a moment walking into a kingdom. You know, you walk in through the main gates of the kingdom, and everyone is sleeping.
Yeah, that would be kind of scary.
Just
sounds like
right
a Doctor Who episode.
Right where they stood, just, oh, fairies. The prince is captured and imprisoned by Maleficent before being rescued by these same three fairies. Maleficent tries to stop him. He's ultimately unsuccessful when Philip throws a +1 magic sword into her dragony chest and kills her. The prince kisses the sleeping princess because of course he does. She wakes up and isn't the slightest bit creeped out by him. No. And they go downstairs where everyone is awake and all is well and right with the world, and supposedly they live happily ever after. Now, this isn't a bad movie. It's actually pretty good. However, I think that it may very well be an anti-feminist propaganda film. Here's why.
Go on.
Number one, the princess is betrothed as an infant, meaning she's unable to offer even a little direction to the identity of her future husband. I realize it's the 13th century. I don't know anybody who wouldn't say, "Really, Dad? That guy? Seriously? Do you want a bunch of mouth breathers for your, you know, future rulers?" No, of course not. The first two women of power gift the princess with beauty and song, which are nice, but are hardly the tools necessary to rule a kingdom. Why? Because she's not supposed to. She's just supposed to look pretty and pump out units every 9 months.
Okay.
Maleficent shows up, and why is she evil? We don't know. Her reason for cursing the kid is because
she wears black. That's why.
But she wasn't invited to the christening. That's the whole reason that she is upset and curses, which implies that women, at least Maleficent, they're shallow and superficial.
Very vengeful.
Another reason to not give them power.
Mm.
The queen is completely ineffectual, speaking very rarely, never with power. I mean, in real life, Disney didn't even keep a record of who voiced the queen, so they don't know who did it.
Oh, boy.
It seems that knowledge has been lost to time. And let's be honest, somebody threatens my daughter, I don't know that I would be the first one to be fighting. I think my spouse would probably be the first one to rush in and just slap the green ink off the woman's face.
Yep.
So, when the fairies take Aurora Rose to live with them without magic, they are so inept regarding things that would keep someone alive in the forest. After 16 years, they still can't cook. Luckily, fresh berries and raw greens have a lot of protein.
That's true.
You know, people complain about how the Sleeping Beauty, Aurora's body shape is unrealistic. No, that's the body shape of starvation. So, number six. The three good fairies proclaim that they cannot fight Maleficent or even stop her spell because, quote, our magic doesn't work like that, end quote. Put another way, quote, good women don't fight for themselves, end quote. Number seven. Aurora never fights for herself in deciding that she does you know, she wants to meet this man in the woods. You know, regardless of the ending of the movie, she didn't know that that was the prince. You could have said something. This implies being raised to not ask questions and to accept what her elders command. You know, show me the 16-year-old who does that. Number eight, the one woman who has power and chooses to exercise it, albeit by being kind of evil, is killed. Can't have any of that. Number nine. Aurora has two songs and less than 20 lines of dialogue in the whole movie. The only Disney character to have any fewer lines is Dumbo. Ha! He has none because he's an infant. The whole movie.
Oh, he's dopey.
True, but he's not a main character. So I should say the only main Disney character.
All right, there you go. Cheerfully withdrawn.
So, to recap. Women with official power, like the queen, are shown as weak and ineffectual in the face of aggression. Women with unofficial power, Maleficent and the fairies, are either inept or evil. The only other woman in this movie that is primarily women has less screen time than the Transformers did in part one. And never fights for herself. So show me a 16-year-old girl like that anywhere in history that hasn't been abused. And I will show you propaganda. So, see the movie, watch it with your sons, watch it with your daughters, then have a very serious talk about what's going on with these people and the way they interact with each other. That's what I got.
This review is either going to be really popular or really unpopular. I can't decide yet. It's just going to depend on whether Tumblr gets a hold of it first or somebody else does.
Tumblr.
Now, it is worth noting that This is, again, product of its time, that kind of thing.
Well, it's also me coming up with something to talk
about.
Yeah,
we're not saying that Disney hates women. Please don't send all your hate mail to Tom at the Deep Man Cave offices in Memphis, Tennessee.
Just write Tom, yeah. Memphis, Tennessee.
You'll probably get him.
He's the only Tom.
You've
there.
Got like a 1 in 300 shot, but it might work. So.
Reference the Geek Man Cave. That'll help narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Tom Radio Man at Memphis, Tennessee or something. I don't know. All right, you done anything else?
No, that's, all right. I think I've upset enough people today.
Mostly Tom.
Mostly Tom. Oh, so check back with us.
Which is really a shame because I love the Geek Man Cave. I really like listening to it.
Oh, you should too.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't want to make him angry.
I don't know. I kind of like
it. He might elbow drop me.
I kind of like it because when he goes on rants, it's pretty fun to listen to.
We've got an idea for some of that.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, be sure to check
might
out.
Come up later.
Be sure to check out the Geek Man Cave, and of course, check us out on Stitcher and iTunes. All you have to do is search for the Geek Cave Podcast. Geek Man Cave falls under that umbrella very nicely. And a one-click subscription, and you're good. Also, geekcavepodcast.com. And don't forget to check out our sponsors, BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and Audible. Audible.com/geekcavepodcast, to be precise. You can get your free trial there. So for Chad, for Kent, for Justin, and for Tom, sorry, Tom, I'm Darren. Thanks for listening. And remember, everybody is a geek for something.
Thanks for spending some time with us in the Geek Cave. You can find more geeky podcasts at thegeekspeaknetwork.net.